You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the Labor Party.
The government's controversial boot camps for youth offenders begin on the 29th of July. These boot camps have been the subject of recent news due to their huge cost and military component. The arrival of boot camps comes as funding has been slashed at Oranga Tamariki, causing the organisation to abruptly cancel hundreds of contracts. These contracts included organisations who say the work they do is frontline, despite the government stating their funding cuts won't impact frontline workers. I speak to Labor spokesperson for children and youth, Willow Jean Prime, about both of these topics. Boot camps begin at the end of this month. Why has Labor been critical of them?
So we have been critical of this government's insistence on reintroducing boot camps, which is a failed policy of the past. This is an expensive experiment with our young people, and we believe that the military-style component of the program is completely unnecessary. This government should stop the nonsense and invest in real solutions.
There is some confusion about the role of the Defence Force in these camps. What do you know?
So what we know from official information that was released is that the Defence Force were concerned when Minister Mark Mitchell was comparing the boot camps to the LSV program. They outlined why he was wrong to do so, and also to clarify and that the Defence Force does not have a delivery role in terms of the boot camps. Subsequent to that official information coming out, Mark Mitchell continued to claim that the Defence Force were involved in the delivery of the boot camp. The Prime Minister contradicted his police minister and said it was right to describe or accurate to describe that they just have a governance role in terms of this program. It is very clear that nobody wants to be staffing this boot camp experiment.
The, as you say, expensive boot camps could cost up to $100,000 per teen. Where could the money be better spent?
It's actually more than $100,000 per teen. That's just for the mentoring component, according to the latest information that we've received. This is over $5 million for this pilot for 10 young people. That money should be invested in young people, but it is better spent investing in programs that we know can and do work. And there are many out there in the community who I have been meeting with who are running programs that are working with our young people and having successful results. That's what this government should be investing in. When the government came in, they were provided with information about the Circuit Breaker program, which Labor introduced, and it has had an over 76% success rate. So the government should be spending that money, that same money, on the programs that are working and producing the results, as opposed to repeating past failed programs like boot camps.
And what are the differences between your program and the current government?
The key difference is this government is insisting on introducing a military-style component, the boot camp element, to their program. The 9 months of the program with wraparound services from the community is what Labor was doing and was investing in. But this government's tough-on-crime rhetoric and insistence on having a military-style component to the boot camp, to this program, is what concerns Labor, but it also concerns the Children's Commissioner. It concerns survivors who have been abused in state care. It has, it concerns many people who work with rangatahi who are seriously concerned about the negative impact that that will have on the young people who are in the program, because the decades of evidence shows us that it simply does not work. And so that same money should be spent on the programs that are working, that the government has acknowledged are important components to supporting our youth. So they should stop the nonsense with the boot camp and support the wraparound services that will work.
And this comes at the same time as a lot of cost-cutting in Oranga Tamariki and the youth justice sector. What could these cuts mean?
So these cuts are as a result of the Minister of Finance, Nicola Willis, requiring Oranga Tamariki to find 6.5% savings within the organisation. These cuts are going to impact on the front line. And the Minister of Finance said, don't worry, these will not impact the front line. But what we are seeing, what we are hearing, is that the cuts are deep and that they are impacting on frontline services. So over 419 roles have been cut within Oranga Tamariki. They are not just back office jobs. Some of those jobs are even in youth justice. And then we have $30 million a year being cut from contracts for services in communities with our community providers. And today there are stories of that being prevention programs and support programs for new parents. It is for counselling for girls who have being the victim of domestic violence. These are absolutely frontline services that are there for our most vulnerable children and families. So this government has got its priorities wrong.
This is also all within the context of your government beginning the inquiry into abuse and care, and now it's up to this government to complete it. Do you have any thoughts around this?
I was really concerned, alarmed actually, when I heard the Prime Minister say that or make excuses for one of his ministers who are going to be responsible for responding to this inquiry, that he hadn't read the report and that the report weighed something like 4 kilograms. This is a really important issue, a really important report. There are significant findings and recommendations in that report that everybody, and particularly this government, should be taking seriously. They should be taking the time to consider that report and reflecting on the policies that they are looking to introduce. These boot camps start in, you know, under 2 weeks. They should be taking the time to consider that report and those recommendations and reflect on the policies that they are looking to implement, because we do not want to repeat those serious wrongs of the past.
Given the 7AA section appeal, do you have any particular concerns about how this government is managing Māori, Tamariki and Rangatahi in state care?
I have huge concerns with the Minister's insistence on the repeal of Section 7AA, which is the treaty clause within Oranga Tamariki's legislation. Her reasons for wanting to repeal the legislation are political ideology. They are not backed up by empirical evidence that there is any conflict between Section 7AA and the best interests of the child and care decisions. The Minister refuses to listen to the untold evidence and stories about that and continues to insist on its repeal. One of my key concerns about that is that section was introduced because Oranga Tamariki had not partnered well and upheld its treaty obligations in the past. And there's a key section within it where the organisation is required to demonstrate how they are reducing disparities for Māori. Māori Tamariki are overrepresented in Oranga Tamariki. And so without those key things in the legislation that are not about care decisions, they are other really key mechanisms within the legislation to ensure that we are upholding Te Tiriti o Waitangi, that we are partnering with Māori, that we are demonstrating how we are reducing the disparities for Māori within Oranga Tamariki, all gone because of this minister's political ideology.
What about Karen Shaw, who is Māori and has been in state care and defends this action? What would you say to her?
She has no empirical evidence that there is an issue with Section 7AA. The cases that she uses to defend her position have been explained that those are social worker practice issues and are not directly related to Section 7AA. She has no empirical evidence. It is all anecdotal. And that is a real concern, that she is not prepared to listen to the strength of the evidence that is before her and reconsider her position on the removal of Section 7AA.
And what is your message to the rangatahi and tamariki in the care of Oranga Tamariki who feel hopeless and isolated right now?
There are many who want to support our rangatahi. We are fighting hard to make sure that this government is making decisions in the best interests of our young people who are in care. They have organisations like Voice Whakarongo Mai who are there to support those in care to have a voice in these processes, and I really encourage them to reach out to Voice Whakarongo Mai or to other organisations that they might have a relationship with to ensure that their voices are heard by this government, because their voices are what is most important in all of this conversation. So it's important that we have an avenue for them to express their views.
That was Labour's Willow Jean Prime on boot camps for youth offenders and funding cuts at Oranga Tamariki.
That was our weekly chat with the Labour Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.